to all you butt wipes out there. This is one of your hosts for this preview of What a Cartoon Movie, Bob Mackey, who is here with me today.
Shut up, butt munch. It's Henry Gilbert. Hi.
And if you're listening to this, you're about to hear a brief clip of our 3+ hour podcast of Beavis and Butthead Do America, the feature film version of the great Beavis and Butthead TV series.
Yes, yeah. I guess really you could call that podcast Bob and Henry's Do Beavis and Butthead's Do America.
It's complicated, but I'll take it.
But yeah, it was so much fun to cover the film adaptation or film spinoff of one of the shows we'd already done on What a Cartoon. We had a ton of fun doing it. Revisiting the Beavis and Butthead movie, you know, it doesn't overstay its welcome. It's I think we're probably twice as long as the film, actually.
Yeah, it's a tight 75 minutes before credits. So, but yeah, it's just like all of our other What a Cartoon movies in that we do the history of the project, then we go into the movie as we do with TV shows, but they're even longer because we're doing something that's usually 3 to 4 times longer than an episode of a cartoon.
Yeah, we talk all about the songs, the animators who worked on the white zombie video part of it, the guest stars, the history of meeting Chelsea Clinton, all these things.
Yes, and if you continue listening past this intro, you'll hear our segment of the history of the movie Beavis and Butthead Do America. But if you go to patreon.com/talkingsimpsons and sign up at the $10 level, you'll have access to the entire podcast, which includes a very long beat-by-beat breakdown of Beavis and Butthead Do America. And at the $10 level, you will also get access to all of the other What a Cartoon Movie podcasts we've done so far. And that includes movies like Batman, Mask of the Phantasm, Kiki's Delivery Service, Akira, Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse, Secret of NIMH, Tiny Toon Adventures, How I Spent My Vacation, Aladdin. And is that it? Did I miss
one? Goofy Movie.
The Goofy Movie, that's the one I missed.
So yes.
Those are all like 3+ hours. And if you're already a $5 patron, signing up for $10 will get you access to all of those. And if you're a new patron, you'll also get all of our $5 rewards, which includes far too many podcasts to listen to this intro, but that includes all of our mini series and so much more. If you like hearing us discuss and dissect animated stuff, there is so much waiting for you there on the Patreon at patreon.com/talkingsimpsons.
And if you sign up now, you'll also get to hear August's What a Cartoon Movie that's coming down the pike too, and every new one that comes out each month, you'll never miss it. So please consider heading over to patreon.com/talkingsimpsons and signing up at $10 today, or upping your $5 pledge to the $10 level to get all of that awesome premium access.
So that's it for our plugs. I'll let all of you nice listeners listen to our free preview of the Beavis and Butthead Do America, What a Cartoon Movie podcast. I said plug. The history of the movie Beavis and Butthead Do America. So this history dates back to the day after the first episode aired on MTV. So the first
that
episode
early.
Proper.
Holy shit.
So the morning after Beavis and Butthead aired on MTV, that first episode where it was already a mega hit, people were talking about it, David Geffen wanted to make this movie. So he called the head of MTV Networks and said, basically, I want to co-produce an album with these characters and a movie.
Wow.
And of course, we all know the Beavis and Butthead Experience, the Geffen Records album, came out 1993, the same year as Beavis and Butthead debuted.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot it was that quick with it, but I mean, David Geffen, as a guy who sells things to young people, he needs to immediately jump on something if he sees it.
Yeah.
I mean, as we all know, David Geffen really understands young men.
Oh.
Wink.
Oh, boy. Is he implicated, too?
I'm not saying anything.
Oh.
He's okay. He's more in the singer verse of those.
Okay. Not in the Epstein,
Epstein
world.
Chronicles.
Yes.
No. Anyway.
But this is one good thing he did.
Yes.
So immediately, this could be apocryphal. It sounds apocryphal to me that the next day he called the head, but maybe he did. Maybe he was that tapped in. Like, he'd even tell his company, he called the head of MTV Networks directly and said, this has got to be an album and a movie. And we all know the album came out and it sold 2 million copies. I had one, of course.
Yeah,
I didn't
like
any of the music on it. I was like more like fast forwarding to the Beavis and Butthead sketches, but it was fun.
I was too young to appreciate the importance of Cher singing singing a song with Butthead. I didn't understand that at the time.
Yes, it was not a kitschy reference to me until I was a bit older.
But it was the spirit of the 70s that Judge loves so much that is heavily infused into the film as well.
It really is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to remember it's the 90s, so anything, just the idea of the 70s is funny. So go back and see the Brady Bunch movie, you'll understand why. 4 years, the MTV Network's chairman and David Geffen wanted this to be a live-action movie, which was the style at the time and continues to be today, because they thought, you know, like, oh, cartoon movies are Disney. We can't make a cartoon movie for teens and adults. No one will see it.
Cartoons are for kids. That was the feeling then, and I think it's still the feeling now. I mean, previous What a Cartoon Movie subject we did, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I'm still shocked that they eventually did a Spider-Man animated film that was not explicitly for children, like that they actually took a chance on that kind of thing. I mean, it is for younger viewers, but I think they made the right move there. But yeah, 96, making an animated film for teens, I could see the rich old men in boardrooms say, like, teens aren't going to go to see a cartoon movie. They know that's for their 8-year-old little brother.
No, they would say, let's get some SNL comedians like David Spade as Beavis and Adam Sandler as Butthead.
Sure.
That is a rumor. I don't know. I couldn't find a source on that, but on a wiki somewhere, it's like they were slated to play them. Maybe in like one version of the 90 scripts that were written for that. I'm sure so many scripts were written because so many people wanted to make that in 1993.
Yeah, and you just put Dreamcasting on the page. And I mean, David Spade was somewhat involved in Beavis and Butthead at that time anyway.
Yeah, I think he was, I'm not sure if he was credited, but he did some voices on the show here and there.
Wasn't he one of the guys who told you Beavis and Butthead will be right back?
Yeah, like, yeah. And he played like this Mr. Manners type on an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I remember in like one of the very, very ugly, crude episodes where Beavis and Butthead go to like some foxy boxing oil wrestling thing, he plays the like clerk. He's like, call me when you get some pubes, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's David Spade.
Yeah.
It was a different time, Henry. We were allowed to show Foxy Boxing on TV. So the issue was Beavis and Butthead was still a very popular TV show, and the crew, including Mike Judge, were always busy making new episodes. So if you go back to that What a Cartoon segment, this show made over 200 segments in under 4 years. Mm-hmm. So they were always busy. And towards the end of that, Mike Judge was developing King of the Hill. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure between... So at this time in his life, Mike Judge was making this movie, still making Beavis and Butthead, and also developing and airing King of the Hill. There was this brief period of time where there were new episodes of Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill airing at the same time, which seems crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Judge, you know, he's an amazing satirist, I would say, but he also is just so dedicated to, like, work and making things. He's very prolific.
Yes, and he was our age when all this stuff was happening, so we feel pretty busy with the podcast network. I can't imagine running two TV shows and producing a movie. That's crazy.
Working in Hollywood where everyone wants to waste your time, too, like, every second of the day.
So this was originally going to be a Warner Brothers film because Geffen Films was based there, but very boring note, Viacom acquired Paramount in 1994, so Paramount became a partner in the film. So there are three logos that start off this movie. So there's Paramount, and then Geffen Films or Geffen Productions, and then MTV Networks. And the funny thing was, this is the second MTV Networks movie or MTV Film Productions movie. The first one, I'm sure you know what it is, right?
Oh, man, I wrote it. No, it wasn't Joe's Apartment.
It was Joe's Apartment, yes.
They advertised that so hard. Well, it's because it was like a short film on MTV that people kind of like.
Yeah.
And they just made it into a disgusting looking film. I never even gave it a shot. MTV Films, I was looking back at their stuff. They released something as recent as 2015, which were like concert movies. They did a lot of those. But you know, MTV Films gave it this and Election, so can't.
Yeah, Election
can't
is
there.
Like this oddly prestige thing for them that I'm sure they thought was going to be like a fart comedy when they, like, oh yeah, high school comedy, go ahead and make it, Alexander Payne.
And then they did Dead Man on Campus for their real dirty thing.
I did see that in theaters. I don't know why. Probably because of the Zach Morris connection. It's like Zach Morris is back in black. He dyed his hair black.
Yes.
Actually, in the theater, I remember, so there are too many production logos on every movie, including this one. So we get the Paramount logo and then the Geffen logo, and then you see the spaceman floating, the MPV spaceman. Mm-hmm. That got a laugh because people thought, is Butthead in or Beavis and Butthead in space in this movie? And they're like, oh, it's the logo. So by the first screening of this, I saw people laughed at that spaceman.
That's such an indulgent logo. It really is.
It takes forever.
Yeah. Well, because they're like, you remember the Moon Man, right? And like, I feel like by even 96, we just knew it as an award. Nobody our generation was watching television when they did the moon launch start to MTV.
We don't remember 15-year-old TV idents, guys. Sorry. But
then meanwhile, that Geffen logo is like nothing. Like, it's just the thing that's on the back of record albums, but with the word pictures underneath.
Yeah, I like how it doesn't waste your time. But so, unlike The Simpsons, the show goes on hiatus. Between March of 1996 and December of 1996, there is no new Beavis and Butthead content.
Oh, wow.
So it's not a very long hiatus to make a movie in. And immediately after the movie, there are new episodes. The final batch of episodes start running. So they had very little time and money to make this, but they were given a hiatus to go off the air temporarily to make this.
While doing all that pilot work on King of the Hill, and we on the King of the Hill podcast, we saw all that behind the scenes stuff he made, like that pitch reel. Like, he is working really hard with Greg Daniels, but still super duper hard.
Yeah, splitting his time between MTV and Fox. And I'm sure MTV wanted him to develop new shows, but he was like, well, they've got broadcast network money and you still don't pay me enough to make this.
Now, MTV, I mean, they really fucked him on money on those early Beavis and Butthead things, I guess. I think he must have been satisfied eventually with the money since he stuck around and still made new things, but I believe he originally got pretty fucked on merch rights.
In fact, I'm sure we talked about it in that history segment. At a certain point in the show, the intro where Beavis and Butthead are laughing, it freezes at the end and it says created by Mike Judge really big under them. Mm. So it's like, fuck you guys. He worked out some new deal, I think, at some point where he retained more rights or something and got more money. So because this show was produced by the television production crew, they of course staffed up. I believe they were working with a studio in LA, but this is an MTV Animation New York production. Mm. So working out of New York, we get a lot of the same people that are working on the TV show. So I'll go through a few of them. They're not animation super notables, but I did want to highlight who they were. There are two what are known as segment directors, which I believe are just co-directors of the movie. So one guy is named Mike DeSeve. His first animation credit is on a 1988 Reading Rainbow segment. So that's where he started in a public television.
Okay.
Before moving on to the show about illiteracy. And he started directing on Beavis and Butthead with the now banned Comedians episode. And in case you're wondering why that was banned, it's because it's the episode that was blamed on the kid setting his house on fire. And in the episode, Beavis and Butthead want to be stand-up comedians, so they go to a stand-up comedy club, and Beavis's act is juggling burning newspapers, and because of that, he burns the comedy club down.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy to think how much they had to scale back Beavis and Butthead. There's an argument about if that's irresponsible or not. They get away with a couple fires in this movie. Oh,
they know they can say fire in this movie, and they're winking at you. It's like, finally, Beavis can embrace fire as he always wanted to. So Mike DeSeb actually did a minor voice role in this episode. If you remember the episode in which a filmmaker came to Highland to make a documentary about them, he plays the director.
That's cute.
Because MTV had no money, a lot of art talent and writing talent would play characters on the show.
I mean, even in this, when I was looking at the IMDb cast list, like, there's a few famous people, but then a lot of just like nobody is like, oh, who played this? Janice Pinkerton or whatever.
Like two of the writers played most of the male characters on the show outside of Mike Judge. They do come back for this. So
And same with Daria too.
Tracy Grandstaff, she's got a great voice, and she's not in this movie, by the way. Not enough time for Daria. But so the other segment director is a guy named Brian Mulroney. Very hard to Google because one of Canada's prime ministers for 9 years is also named Brian Mulroney. This could be bad documentation, but this appears to be his first animation credit, and that can't possibly be.
No way. Not to get to sequence director on a MTV wouldn't trust a person on that level, like, even if Judge vouched for him. That's failure of the internet there on marking this guy then.
So I feel like he was working on the show like under a pseudonym because it was probably a non-union show and things that. So I'm sure he worked on the series, but he has other credits. Not a lot, actually. So things like Celebrity Deathmatch, the classic Spike TV series Gary the Rat, Robotomy, and Angelo Rules. And again, hard to Google because of the Canadian Prime Minister guy. So
Right. Man, well, it sounds like this guy's you know, this is like his only feature thing then, and he's no discredit to his, you know, talent, but he's working on a lot of cheap stuff.
Yeah.
Like a lot of really cheap cable things.
For most of these people, though, this is the only feature they worked on because they were just, I mean, not just, but they were the TV animation talent and they were skilled TV animation people. I was surprised no one, like, really quote unquote graduated to like a DreamWorks or a Pixar.
Yeah. Though I guess, you know, with this being a New York production, like, even if it's an elevated New York production, but you're still in that bubble of it, nobody else, unless you're going to move to LA, you're probably not going to get more feature opportunities because feature animation just really isn't done outside out of New York. It only happened because of the power of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. And I think maybe just having that on your resume, I mean, it's cool, but they're like, well, that's an ugly show. But I think, I mean, we talked about it in the What a Cartoon episode. We'll talk about it here. Like, Beavis and Butthead is a deceptively well-animated thing in that the characters are so ugly that you think, oh, this is just a badly done show. But it's like the drawings of them have to be done so specifically to look correctly that it takes a lot of skill to do that. Like, Beavis and Butthead are very complicated character designs. Like, if one little thing is wrong on them, it looks terrible. And they're very, very hard to draw from different angles.
Yeah, and in this movie, they challenge themselves to draw them at 360 degrees of them. Like, you see every angle of these freakish monstrosities that are Beavis and Butthead, plus everybody else in the world, too.
Yeah. It's a very, I mean, like, the characters got less ugly as Mike Judge, I guess, wanted to freak people out less. But the bystanders start to look more like King of the Hill characters as the show goes on, instead of like the crude and very ugly Mike Judge drawings. By ugly, I mean it's a choice.
Yeah,
like, he definitely is making a choice to make characters ugly.
I think, you know, the newer the episode, I think maybe the easier he went on the character design. Like, either he's not directly handling the character designs and he's telling the character designers, like, all right, let's actually think more about how we would animate these characters a million times. So why don't we take it a little easier on... and also, well, for women in this, they have to draw an attractive woman, and that's tough. Like, with even Dallas in this, it's like, okay, she's attractive.
They make her, like, Texas trashy, though, I think, in a good way.
Well, everyone's trash in this. Like,
It's more. It's sort of like how the Simpsons in Season 1 characters look way different than anything else designed, like, more than 5 years later. Like, if you look at characters like Mr. Van Driessen and Mr. Anderson, they are, like, Mike Judge's, like, first drawings of them way back from the shorts. So they look, like, ghastly compared to the new characters in this movie. Like, they both have, like, these glassy-eyed stares through their glasses.
Yeah, when their eyes look painted onto their glasses, there's not real much depth to them. But that's part of the charm, their hideous charm.
So the animation director, and she sounds delightful. By the way, this commentary is on YouTube. Henry linked me to it because we assumed there would be no commentary because we didn't think Mike Judge did them. But there is one, I'm sure there's more than one of these, but there's an account on YouTube that is just putting up comedy DVD commentaries. And after I listened to this, I was just leaving on like Red Dwarf commentaries in the background while I worked. And I was like, I can't believe I remember. Those are commentaries I listened to a lot too, back in the early 2000s, my Red Dwarf DVDs.
I didn't have those DVDs. I was always watching on PBS, so I never got the DVDs. I'm glad somebody is doing that and uploading these things so they're not lost to time, or that you don't have to, you know, dig up a $5 DVD on Amazon or go to your local Half Price Books and search for the DVD to hear this audio.
It's great that, like, now every DVD extra is just on YouTube, and I hope every DVD commentary hits it, because no one's preserving those, no one's selling those. Those are mostly out of print. And also, the Beavis and Butthead documentary that was spread across 3 volumes of the DVD releases, Taint of Greatness, that's all on YouTube, too. I recommend you watch that, because they interview everybody, including Mike Judge. So animation director is Yvette Kaplan, and she's a delight on the commentary. She sounds like she gets along with Mike Judge very well, and they work together a little on future projects. So she was supervising director on the series from 1994 to 1997. I think it's interesting that Beavis and Butthead had a female touch.
Oh, yeah.
See, overseeing it all.
It's such a disgustingly gross boy show. To have a woman overseeing the whole thing is very interesting.
Yeah.
People probably wouldn't have believed it back then.
Though in the show, women always have the upper hand on Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, that's an important thing that, like, I mean, Beavis and Butthead are... like pure misogyny, but that's because they're stupid children.
Yeah.
But the show doesn't hurt women, that women are more confused or horrified by the things around them. It's not about them being abused, and they usually win.
Or they get to hurt you somebody in some way.
Or Daria gets to snap a picture of them wearing eye patches over their junk.
Kaplan came back to work on the 2011 reboot, which again is very cool. Please watch it. I think it came back and it was just as funny as it had always been. And it was also stuck in time. Beavis and Butthead were not using iPhones. They were not watching HDTV. They were watching Jersey Shore. And I thought those jokes were a little too easy, but the cartoons themselves are all very funny.
Well, I mean, with Kaplan, that's also impressive because, you know, in the 90s, this is right below director, and it's like director then animation director. But, you know, Disney and Warner in LA, no woman was getting that high in their credits. You know, pretty rare. Like, so that's, or Pixar as well. Like, nobody in the mid 90s was getting that. So that's again so crazy when you talk about diversity that Beavis and Butthead was such a trailblazer of women in animation in this case.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, she was the David Silverman or Jim Reardon of Beavis and Butthead, just like overseeing it all, making sure it looked the right way. So her first role was way back in 1977 on the Christmas special, Why the Bears Dance on Christmas Eve. That's all on YouTube. It looks like crap, but she was also working in TV 70s animation. So,
I mean, she probably had $8 to make that, so I don't blame her.
But before Beavis and Butthead, she worked on a show way different in tone. She directed 15 segments of Doug.
She's a Doug head, man. All right, so she's in the Viacom family, moving from Doug to that. That's interesting. I mean, I would think by end of 93, Beavis and Butthead is going so well, but Mike Judge needs help. He can't run the whole thing himself, especially, like, you need an animation vet for a guy who is all, like, self-taught in animation.
She has lots and lots of animation work over the years, mostly as a timer, which sounds boring, but it's very important. So
important.
It takes a lot of skill to be a timer.
Not glamorous.
It is not. And her most recent role was consulting producer on Sonic Boom and Clarence, as well as executive producer on the show called Zack and Quack, which I have not seen.
I should give more of a chance to that Sonic Boom show. We had upcoming guest Alan Denton. He's one of the writers for that show, and no one wanted to give... Sonic Boom sounded like the stupidest thing in the world, especially because the game apparently wasn't very good. Sure didn't look good in the clips I've seen, but the show actually seems like a really good show that's cursed with a bad name and a toxic title.
Yeah, but people found it, and people seem to like it, so thumbs up to Sonic Boom. So... writer with Mike Judge is Joe Stillman. Again, check out a previous podcast to learn more about him. Square Peg, our episode of Square Peg 4, Talking of the Head.
Yes, that was a good one. He's he's the Shrek Man, short version on that.
Yes, he made his bones, all of his bones on Shrek, but he started by writing a few Dougs, back to Doug again.
Jeez.
Moved on to The Adventures of Pete and Pete, so we know he's good.
Yeah.
Then wrote 8 Beavis and Butthead episodes from 1993 to 97, and he moved on to King of the Hill, where he also wrote Peggy's Headache, another episode we did for What a Cartoon.
Clearly Judge, a big fan of the guy very quickly. Maybe it's not with everybody, but I think Judge definitely elevated who he could in these positions. Like, if he liked you, if he liked working with you, he'd actually help you. I think back to that story on King of the Hill that he gave Greg Daniels co-creator credit that he did not need to. Like, legally, there's no reason for him to do it, even by, like, guild guidelines, but he basically just said, like, yeah, have the money or have a co-creator credit. Like, that is an incredible gift to just give away. And I think that, again, feels like Judge is not like a Hollywood fucking phony. But that Stillman, I saw in his credits, one thing I meant to mention earlier was, so this came out in Christmas, and he is one of the creator writers on Beavis and Butthead Do Christmas, or the two shorts that comprise that VHS tape.
Oh, so good, yeah.
I remember it was a Beavis and Butthead Christmas. I think we got multiple Beavis and Butthead things for Christmas, including this tape, which I like watched all Christmas break while it was Beavis and Butthead time. I feel like I must have watched it the whole week leading up to seeing it in the theaters, Do America.
And it truly was the holiday of Beavis and Butthead.
And naming it Do Christmas was totally the tie-in to the movie, too. I mean, I loved hearing them answer questions about, like, what happens when a reindeer poops in the air? It falls on the ground and goes flop. That's the answer.
Classic joke. Classic poop joke. I did like him whipping reindeer Beavis.
All the whipping.
Yeah. Let's talk about the voice cast. So Mike Judge as mostly everyone. So because he voices all the principal characters, he's in this movie a lot. And he was talking about sitting down with a casting director for the movie from Paramount, and she didn't really know who he was outside of the creator of the show. Mm-hmm. So she was like, okay, who do we want for Beavis? And he's like, I'm Beavis. And she's like, okay. How about Butthead? And he's like, I'm Butthead. And she's like, what about Mr. Anderson? He's like, I'm Mr. Anderson. So he's like, I felt sorry for this poor woman because she probably thought I was power tripping or something, yeah, not knowing I did all of these voices myself.
Yeah, she probably things like, I'm insisting I'm every voice in this movie, not that he's already those characters. They'll chew you up and spit you out beyond a doubt. It pays not to mess with you. You got it.
If you cross Beavis and Butthead, they will throw down and blow your ass off. Know what I'm saying?